Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 4. We were talking about one of the really amazing miracles of Jesus' ministry. You know, all miracles are amazing. A miracle is an event where the laws of nature are suspended for a time and something that is unnatural takes place. And in Mark chapter 4, in verses 35 through 41, we see that happening. Jesus and his disciples are on the Sea of Galilee. A storm strikes them. Jesus is asleep in the bow of the boat. His disciples come to get him because they are afraid. They wake him up, and he criticizes them for being afraid. And with a word, he stops the storm. Maybe like me, you've been in a storm where the wind's been blowing. The trees are bent over because the wind is blowing so hard. The rain is just driving. There's thunder and lightning. Can you imagine in a moment that storm stopping instantaneously, just at a word? Well, this is the sort of thing that happened. Jesus was able to stop the forces of nature with just a word. And in this, Jesus demonstrates his absolute authority over the natural realm. His disciples are astonished by this, and even though they were afraid by the storm, they were still afraid once he had stopped the storm. As Mark says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, another one of the impressive things about these miracles is sometimes they brought people to a state of fear. We're going to see that in the next miracle in chapter number 5. That the awesome display of power brings fear into the hearts of those who see the evidence. As we get into chapter number 5, Jesus and his disciples continue their journey. They end up on the other side of the sea in a country called the Gadarenes. As Jesus gets out of the boat, a man comes to him out of the tombs, and he's got an unclean spirit. Mark tells us in chapter 5, verse number 3, that the man lived among the tombs. He's living in a cemetery. And no one could bind him. People had tried. They tried to shackle him even with chains. But the demons that were inside of him gave him so much strength that he was able to just break those chains apart. No one could control him. No one could bind him. And always night and day, he's walking around this cemetery and in the mountains close by, crying out and cutting himself with stones. In our day and age, we'd look at a person like this and think that they were out of their minds. This man, though, is possessed by demons. He sees Jesus from afar. He runs up to Jesus and he worships him. I can imagine this man just falling on his face. And the man cries out, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now, this might be the man's voice, but it's not the man who's speaking. It's actually the demon who's possessed him. In verse number 8, Jesus commands this demon to come out of him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then Jesus does something unusual. He says, "What is your name?" We have many examples in Scripture of both angels and demons having names. Of course, we know Satan, the accuser, sometimes called the devil. Sometimes he's called Beelzebub. We also know that there's an angel called Apollyon in the the book of Revelation. Jesus wants to know this demon's name, which means that demons have an identity, if you will. On the good side of things, we have Michael the Archangel. The word archangel just means prince of the messengers. It appears that Michael is the head of all the angelic beings in heaven. We also know of Gabriel from the book of Daniel. Gabriel was the angel who talked to both John the Baptizer's mother, Elizabeth, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, about the babies that were in their wombs. Gabriel's known as the angel of announcements, if you will. So angels and demons have identities. They have names, and Jesus wants to know this particular demon's name. He answers and says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, in the Roman legions, or in the Roman armies, a legion was a single unit in the Roman army. At full strength, it consisted of about 6,000 soldiers. And the word legion is used in the New Testament to represent a vast number. Now, whether or not this man was inhabited by literally 6,000 demons, I suppose, is up for dispute. But by naming itself in this way, the demon is saying, there's a lot of me in here. And that certainly fits with the conduct of the man, what we see him doing. Now, this demon begs Jesus not to send them out of the country. Jesus, as the Son of God, has the power to bind and to loose demons. And this demon, it appears, is afraid that Jesus is going to send them back to the holding place for demons. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 2. He calls it Tartarus. In other places, it's known as Hades. In other places, it's known as the abyss. It's the deepest pit where those who have died and are unrighteous are held. And it's that place where those demons who rebelled with Satan are held until the day of judgment. It seems like this demon legion, or these demons legion, are asking Jesus, don't send us back there. Let us continue to roam here. They see over across the way a large herd of swine. And the demons beg Jesus to send them into the swine. Jesus does so. The unclean spirits go out of the man. They enter into the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now, a couple of things that are worth noting. The Gadarenes, where Jesus is at, is an area mostly inhabited by Gentiles. That would explain why there's a herd of swine. Swine, of course, were unclean animals under the old law. Another thing to note, though, is that Jesus casts these demons out of the man, and he sends them into the swine, and the swine end up dying. Now, some folks might see that as a really cruel act on Jesus' part. Why are you punishing these animals? Well, remember that in God's eyes, human life is of greater value than animal life. And I know that that might offend some people. But if you look at Scripture, you can see that when God created man, he created man in his own image. He did not do that with anything else in the created realm. Man and woman alone were created in the image of God. Therefore, human life has greater value for that reason. One of the things, for instance, that separates us from the animal realm is that God has given us a spirit that is of a different nature than the animals have. We have a conscience, for instance. We are conscious of our existence. Those are the sorts of things that separate us from the animal realm. So when Jesus does this, this is an act of compassion, an act of mercy, because human life is far more valuable than life of animals. The pigs, the swine, violently run down into the sea. Now, those who were tending the swine ran into the nearby town to tell people what had happened. And a great crowd comes to Jesus, and when they arrive, they find Jesus and the man whom he has healed. The man is sitting at the feet of Jesus, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Now, I think that this miracle offers a very beautiful spiritual illustration. I think in this miracle, we see the effect that Jesus Christ can have on the life of a person who is in slavery to sin. The man who is possessed by these demons represents a life that is enslaved to sin. This man was living among the dead. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, that without Jesus we are dead in our trespasses and sins. The man is walking around naked. Remember when Adam and Eve first ate of the fruit, they became aware of their nakedness. Many times in Scripture, nakedness refers to one's spiritual state apart from God. To the Laodiceans, Jesus said, "You are wretched, poor, blind, miserable, and naked." He's dwelling among the dead. He's naked. He's inflicting harm on himself. And in Scripture, we're taught that sin often has an effect on us. It injures us. It harms us. And that was certainly true of this man. But once Jesus casts these demons out of the swine that are then buried in the sea, this man is clothed. He's in his right mind. There's a beautiful picture here of conversion. Jesus cuts away the body of the sins of the flesh when we are baptized into his name. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Jesus casts these demons out. They are buried in the water, and this man becomes whole. He is clothed. And what is baptism? Well, Paul says, when we are baptized with faith, we become clothed with Christ. And this man is found in his right mind. This is the effect of a life that has been influenced by Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I invite you to consider what this miracle teaches us about him. That in him, all of the evil, all of the wickedness, all of the sin can be taken away, and we can have a brand new life, clothed with garments of righteousness, clothed with Jesus Christ. And he will grant us peace, peace that we have never known before. And we'll stop living among those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and we'll now live among the righteous. Friend, if you don't know Jesus this morning, then I invite you, consider what this miracle teaches, and I urge you, act upon your faith. Come to belief in him, and come to know the sweet rest that we can find in Jesus Christ. As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God requires you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:16, Jesus promises to save those who believe and are baptized. Peter says baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. And Paul says we are baptized into Jesus, united with his death and resurrection in baptism. If you want to learn more about baptism and God's plan for salvation, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.